Welcome back to another episode of You Had to Be There, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of the music industry. I'm your host, Julia Gomberg. This week, I'm really excited to introduce Sophia Galani as my special guest. Sophia is a West London-based artist who has devoted herself to her music through her songwriting, producing, self-promotion, and directing her music videos, all independently. Because of the success of her song, Read My Mind, she has been featured as BBC's Artist of the Week, and it's really no surprise because her authenticity is truly undeniable, and so is her talent, and she's just getting started. So be sure to also check out Sophia's upcoming single called Vulnerability that's out tomorrow, September 12th, which will be available on all streaming platforms. So check that out, as well as the curated playlist that she made alongside this episode, which you can find in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and be sure to follow along on Instagram at the letter U, had to be their pod, and I'll catch you next time.
Hello, my name is Sophia Galani. I'm a singer, independent singer-songwriter based in Surrey, but also goes to London quite frequently. I have released several singles, my most recent one being Chains, and with a new single called Vulnerability that will be coming out on the 12th of September. I'm mainly avant-garde pop, but I'm very, very experimental. And yeah.
That was a great intro. You had it down.
Thank you very much. What can I say?
A professional. Also, I must say, I love your accent. I'm going to really enjoy speaking with you just for the accent.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's you already sound so cool. I've been listening to your music. I'm like really a big fan. I have Read Your Mind like on so many playlists, and I'm just like blown away by it. And so I'm really excited to kind of dive in and talk to you about everything.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Read Your Mind, it was one of my favorite singles to release. I mean, it's been
awesome.
Yeah, we found out that it's been on BBC now for 7 weeks or more on airplay.
Wow, I'm not surprised. It's very catchy.
So much. Yeah. I'm adopting your accent, I swear.
I'm going to end up doing the same thing.
But I love Read Your Mind. It was all about me kind of navigating social spaces, realizing that people come in and out of your life and kind of accepting that. And it's honestly been one of the highlights of my career, being able to talk about it and kind of promote it and stuff.
That's amazing. That always is so cool to hear like a song that speaks to, you know, me as a listener, and then like hearing the importance to the artist that created it. I love hearing that kind of stuff. So it's really cool.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I want to kind of go start from the beginning. Like, when would you say, because I know you're still pretty young, which is all even more impressive, but when did you kind of know you wanted to pursue music professionally?
Yeah, so I started out doing like talent shows and musicals, as we all do. And I think with the role, I sang Don't Cry For Me Argentina in this one musical called Evita, which was kind of sick.
Amazing. That's a hard song to sing.
It is. And I think, you know, trying to understand the cultural relevance of it and, you know, really sing those notes, it really kind of was one of the factors to why I wanted to pursue music personally and like start writing and start getting my message out there, because it was so bold and powerful. I think it kind of spoke to me as an artist. So I ended up releasing my first song at 12. It was called Ain't a Game. It was very, very fun. with the music video as well, we did like loads of like, what was it called? You know, special effects.
CGI.
Oh my goodness. And that was so fun. And honestly, it's been such an amazing journey, experimenting with genres, releasing more and more singles, until eventually I'm releasing my next single next month, and I'm coming out with a vinyl.
Wow, that's so cool. Oh my gosh. A vinyl is like really exciting, because it's such a physical thing to like, you can say like, this is mine, and it's like you're holding it literally, so tangible. That's amazing.
Definitely. I mean, I wanted to have a body of work out there, and I'm really excited for it to come out.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So did you ever, like, since you were kind of performing theater and things like that, did you ever have any kind of like stage fright or any like nerves, or did it just feel kind of natural to you?
I mean, it's such a difference between like rehearsing and like going on stage and stuff. And those nerves that you get before each performance, it both terrifies me, but also fuels me in a sense. I like having those nerves because it kind of reminds me I'm about to go and I'm about to put kind of my heart on stage and, you know, sing myself to death. And it's just, it's nice to feel that and be like, this shows I care. Like, this shows I'm about to do something that, you know, I'm really excited about, that I want people to like, I want people to receive nicely. So I think those nerves will always be a part of me before every single performance. But even though obviously it's a bit intimidating, it helps me, it fuels me.
Yeah, that's a really great perspective to kind of like own it and use it to your advantage. I don't think I've ever, as someone who sings in their shower, like I've never conquered that, but I was always really terrified of performing in front of people. So I love hearing that. It's almost like a superpower in a way.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
Yeah. And then I guess, so you are based in Surrey or in London. What was like the local scene like? Did that influence your sound at all?
Yeah, definitely. London is very, very diverse in terms of music. I mean, I grew up listening to all sorts, pop, R&B, have a bit of drum and bass here and there. I even started rapping at one point in one of my singles. Still am. But London's definitely kind of given me the freedom to experiment and kind of be myself in the studio, whether I want to try something new out. With Read Your Mind, it was very much like going into more of a garage beat. And with a new single coming out, it's very much kind of synthy pop, which is always fun.
So fun. And yeah, I mean, every song, I think there's like a cohesion to it. Like you can tell it's all from the same artist, but each song has such a different style. Like I know you just mentioned also you had your most recent single Chains, which I also really like. And that's more like, I guess, would you say like electronic? Forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, these songs represent different phases in my life and different emotions and intense experiences that I've gone through that I just wanted to put to paper. I am very much heart on my sleeve when it comes to music. I want my music to feel as authentic as possible.
Yeah, I think you've achieved that really well. It does feel very authentic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. What is your creative process like? Like, where do you start? And like, I guess, yeah, can you kind of walk us through from like the idea to pull it, like laying down a track?
Yeah. I mean, there's the debate between artists, whether to start making melodies first or to songwrite first. And for me, it's always been like songwriting first. I always like to, especially when I'm feeling intense emotions, I like to note down like one or two words on my notes app and quite literally just express how I'm feeling. And then from there, I like to create a structure and develop the song from there, develop the song around the message. And then I go into the studio and I like play around with different sounds that I feel like would work with those song lyrics with my amazing producer and the support of my dad. It's really, really fun making music. I really enjoy kind of making the music and then being able to perform it in front of so many people. It's like all the hard work that we've done behind the scenes.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That must be so cool.
Yeah, to see it like come full circle must be really rewarding and special. That's really cool. So you mentioned your dad. Does your family have like a musical background, would you say?
My dad used to be a musician, actually. He, you know, he toured and he released singles with his band and stuff like that. So going into starting young, especially, he's always been that kind of support system that's really, really helped me. He kind of, you know, allowed me to be as experimental and as fun and crazy as I wanted to be. But he also gave it some discipline in the sense that he helped me stay consistent and he helped me kind of understand what I want to say musically and like refine it. To where I am today, which, you know, has really helped me as well, being independent, having a little foot in every single kind of aspect of music making.
Yeah, no, that's really, really special. I can imagine it's really like motivating to have that kind of support, especially because like you said, like you're independent. I used to work for an independent like music distribution, TuneCore, if you're familiar. And I like am such an advocate for like independent musicians because they do so much. Like it's just like you're a musician and a million other things, I'm sure, right? You're like the creative director, you're part of the production. Like what part would you say of the whole like creative process resonates with you the most, or like what do you enjoy the most if you had to choose?
Oh, I love producing. I love like listening to the vocals, refining it, doing it again, putting extra sounds in, because I feel like that's the most freedom that I get to have when I like when I make music. I mean, when I perform, that's also obviously, you know, such an ecstatic feeling. I love seeing everyone kind of listen to it and relate to it. But I think the actual composing of it has always been my favorite part. But honestly, when it comes to like promoting the song, being a social media manager, you know, that's something I need to work on. But other than that,
I mean, I feel you. It's the most, I would say, like, of everyone I've interviewed in the music scene, like, social media is the one thing that no one can quite like tackle. Well, I'm guilty of it too.
I kid you not. Like, I remember I was saying to someone how I was doing a songwriter, and they were like, "Oh my god, you're an influencer." I was like, "Well,
well,
maybe a lot of it."
Right. It's so difficult, and it's like sometimes does feel like the algorithm is like against everything that you're trying to do. Oh. But but you know, I think it finds the right people the way it's supposed to, and you never know what will happen. But are you active on like TikTok and Instagram?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, promoting the new single as well. It is fun to be on social media and see the response, and I get messages sometimes from listeners and who have their own input and have related to my songs in different ways, so that's always nice. So
that's really cool. So like in the comments, people kind of relate to it?
Yeah, I mean, fans like to comment, but they also like to like message me like privately and be like, "Oh my god, read your mind, you know, I can't read people's minds." And that's great. I know, me too, babe.
I love that. That's really, really cool. And like, yeah, it must make it feel, the connection you're making must make it just feel so much more real in that way. I love that.
Yeah.
And I know you also like are very into the creative, I guess, visual side. Like you've worked on videos and things like that. Can you kind of talk about that a little?
Oh, absolutely. We've always gone through really bold artistic decisions throughout my music career, because I always wanted to, you know, make sure that the visual aligns with the message as much as possible whilst taking those creative liberties. I think with video making, especially from the beginning, like I was really, really excited at the beginning. We tried like new camera lenses, very, very technical stuff, which my director's probably screaming at me now to remember. but like different outfits, different, you know, makeup. It's just such an interesting process going from letting you hear the song to mood boards to actual like filming and stuff.
Yeah,
I think at the moment I've been releasing like lyric videos with like some of my gig footage, because what I wanted to do was kind of allow my audience to go on this music journey with me and see how I'm developing through the songs, like putting gig footage in like lyric videos and stuff. But I mean, soon enough, we probably will be getting back into the music videos, and I probably will be dressed as something ridiculously crazy, and I can't wait to see
it. I can't wait to see it too. Yeah. Who would you say, like, I know you mentioned there's a lot of artists that have like influenced you. Are there any specifics who have influenced not only your music, but maybe more of like the visual aesthetics you go for?
Yeah, definitely. I've always really loved Victoria Monet. She's very, both musically and visually, she's very smooth in what she does. She's very calculated and concise, and she kind of knows what she wants to get out there, which is really, really inspiring to me. I also like Sia and the way she kind of takes a liberty on her music videos. I like the way, especially with Chandelier, so not vague, but I like how she would like sing the message of the song in the music video, and the next thing you know, you like cut to like someone swinging from a chandelier. It's great. I love the chaos of it all. I want to add a little bit of chaos in my videos.
I could see that for sure. Yeah. I think using the word calculated is really like correct, in the sense that like I, especially Victoria Monet, feels really like effortless, but you know that it's not. Like she's like crafted the illusion of being effortless almost.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, she's definitely a great one. It's interesting too, because I think even Sia, like I can see that there's a lot of diversity in her songwriting and her like the emotions that her music kind of creates. So I can see how that would really influence sort of what you do.
Yeah.
In terms of like music videos, do you see yourself doing more of that on stage, like creating more visual elements in the future?
Absolutely. 100%. I've always wanted to take more creative liberties performing. I mean, I've been jumping around, I've been lying down, I've been, getting people to jump, all the good stuff. I even remember setting fire to a speaker once. That was good times.
Whoa.
not intentionally, funny enough, but it added a little je ne sais quoi to the performance.
Oh
But
my gosh.
absolutely. I want to add some of the visuals and the colors kind of from my music videos into like lighting and add like background visuals. 100%. I'd love to try things out with my performances.
Yeah, I need to hear. Can you tell more about the speaker getting on fire? I can't get over this.
Oh my goodness. I was at a Pride festival, so everyone was already like really, really happy and joyful and ready for music. And so I'm getting all my loud songs out because, people just want high energy, which is always fun. And so I'm performing. And as I'm performing, I can smell like smoke. And I thought it was like a food stall nearby. I was like, oh my God, the barbecue I'm going to eat after this. Oh, I can already smell it. I look next to me and like the volume's been turned down. And I was like, oh, maybe I hit a bad note or something. I look over and there's like a massive like fire coming off the left speaker and like my dad on the backstage like ushering me away from it and like the mic being turned off. And I was like, what did I do? I was just thinking about like food and then all of a sudden, but yeah, we have it on video and everything. It's
Oh my
amazing.
gosh. Wait,
Oh
that's
my God.
amazing. That's so funny that you thought it was food. That is so relatable. I would be
Oh my
thinking
goodness. Someone's
the
cooking up a storm. Oh wait, it's me.
same thing.
God
You quite
damn
literally cooked. I love that. That's really wild.
it. Didn't me, unfortunately.
No, that's perfect for this podcast because it's called You Had to Be There. So that is quite
Yeah.
literally a you had to be there
You did
moment.
have to be there.
That's so funny. How do you like performing at festivals versus doing like your own shows?
I love festivals because I love like how do I say it? It's like the vibe of festivals. It's so fun. Everyone's there for a good time. It's normally centered around a certain theme. I performed at Chickenstock Festival, music festival, rather recently. And that was weirdly enough centered around like barbecue and stuff. And that was really fun.
Oh, it worked
I
out for you.
was like, shall we do it again? No.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I feel like there's also like almost like more of an open-mindedness for people at festivals because they know they're going to see music that they haven't heard before and discover music. Like that's always my favorite way of discovering new artists, I think.
And I think definitely a festival highlight of mine. I performed at Guildfest, which was really cool, and I supported the Jacksons and Soul to Soul,
Oh, nice.
and that was definitely a highlight as well. And the general vibe of that, everyone just wanted to listen to other music artists. Oh, and I met Baby D, which was also really cool.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah. But just people want to meet each other. Musicians want to meet each other. People want to
Yeah.
connect. People want to dance. And I think that's why I love performing at festivals so much.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Like not just for the people in the audience, but it's an opportunity for like the performers to get to like meet, and hear music that they like. That's a very good point. What are your like plans, I guess, coming up for performing? Like, do you have like how, yeah, I guess like what is the cadence of like your performing right now?
Oh goodness. Summer was so packed. We did so many gigs in summer. I think we had like even a little tour poster that came up for it. It was really, really sick. And I think coming from summer now and doing gigs like Guildfest, I performed a Paper Dress Vintage, which was cool. That was in the East London. And stuff like that. I think coming into September with the new single and the new vinyl coming out next year, it's gonna be really exciting. I have To my knowledge, two gigs. I have Gay Norfest coming up, which is like a Pride festival coming out at the end of the month. And I think soon enough, later on, I'll be performing at Hampton Court Palace, which will be really fun.
Wow. Oh my gosh. It's so different in the UK. Like there's just it just sounds so much cooler than like I don't know. I live in New York City and obviously like it's amazing, but for festivals it's not the best because there's just no like open space really that you
I was
can
going to
like
say it's very city centered there, isn't it?
yeah, exactly. Like they have, parks, but it's still not the same as like when I look at footage from like the I don't know.
Glastonbury?
Yeah, Glastonbury. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I've been to so many festivals, but when I look at Glastonbury, I'm like, no, I haven't. Like, this is like a whole other level of cool.
Oh my God. Definitely. I mean, I'm so excited for the Hampton Court Palace gig because we found out that that one actually sold more than 5,000 tickets and counting.
Wow, so that's amazing.
There's enough open space for that one. That one's going to be a big show. But yeah, that and the vinyl called Reconceptualize.
Yes. Okay. I want to hear more about that. Yeah. How did you come up with the concept for a vinyl?
Oh, goodness. Reconceptualize is kind of a big mesh of both my vulnerable side and my like chaotic side when it comes to music. It's kind of me reconceptualizing myself and kind of not putting boundaries on what I can be as a music artist. It kind of explores like me wanting to be vulnerable, me wanting to put my heart on my sleeve when it comes to my music, and then also me kind of stepping out of, like, for example, the chains. Chains is going to be on the vinyl.
Right, okay.
And breaking boundaries at the same time. It's really, really fun. It's like a pop R&B kind of vibe, and it kind of comes with the message of reinvention and self-discovery, basically.
Wow, that's really cool. I love that already, like, the idea of chains being on it makes sense of, like, breaking. It's all very metaphorical. I can see that you're a writer for sure.
Absolutely. And I'm nothing if not a poet.
I love that. Yeah. Did you, like, growing up, were you like always writing, would you say?
Oh yeah, always writing, but also always reading. I've had that creative streak to me because I'm always interested in, like, not just pop culture, but how we as artists develop through our songwriting. And I studied English literature through A-level, got an A.
Oh, nice.
And it kind of gave me an interesting take on when I approach songwriting, because it encourages me to be more vulnerable and to have more depth in what I'm saying and explore that more within the melodies and the musical kind of stuff. So definitely English lit and, you know, general writing and reading, it's always helped me with kind of expressing myself.
Yeah, and you're very articulate also, so it can tell words come easy.
Oh, thank you very much.
And then for, yeah, like, how did you decide on specifically a vinyl as opposed to, like, any other type of release medium?
I actually find that vinyl's trending right now. I mean, people, collectors, I'm a vinyl collector myself. I think people kind of want that product. And it's been, I don't know, maybe in my opinion, quite a long time since artists have chosen to do bodies of work instead of just singles first and then later on just putting all those singles on a body of work. I really wanted to kind of release an album, release something with physical on it, and you know, people have been demanding it, and so you ask, I receive. No, you ask, you receive. There we go. You ask, you receive. Oh my goodness.
Oh. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you're ahead of the game, because also, like, you know, Taylor Swift just announced her next album. I'm not much of a, like, I like her, but I would never identify as a Swiftie. For her new album release, like, the first thing that you could pre-order was the vinyl of it. And I think there is something really special about, like, owning it, because it's like a piece of art, but then obviously it's an audible, like, piece of art as well that you can listen to.
And it's so exciting to have a new project I've been working on for quite a while now early out in 2026.
That is exciting. So it's going to be released early 2026?
Absolutely. And we'll see what happens from there. But I'm
amazing.
Really excited.
And then so tell me a little bit more about the single that's coming out in September.
Vulnerability. Yes. Vulnerability is kind of about me opening my emotions up to other people, in the sense that, like, one of the lyrics in the song, and this is kind of how I explain it every single time, one of the lyrics in the song is called, "My heart is still gonna break if I shield it." And it kind of, it means how I'm going to inevitably have to go through these emotions and these experiences. And whether I come out of it stronger is entirely up to me. It's my healthy way of saying that, similar to Read Your Mind, instead of having people come and having people go, it's kind of that self reflection and self-preservation. It is definitely created in a more personal light, and it focuses on how it's inevitable to hurt, but it's also simultaneously inevitable to kind of heal. But it's not a sad song. It's very It's kind of an empowering realization of the power of understanding the self and growing.
It reminds me, I don't know, maybe it's the accent and you being from London, but it has a similar energy that I think like Charlie XCX had for Brat, where it's really like deep, profound, like self-reflective emotions, but over like party beats.
It makes it's you, fun.
Definitely. I think it's a really cool way of connecting with listeners because I think there's like maybe an overgeneralization that being vulnerable is sad music, sad songs about like heartbreak, but like that's not always the case.
And we were playing it in the car and I was like dancing, I was like bopping to it. I was like,
awesome, I'm excited to hear it. When does it come out?
Oh, it comes out on the 12th of September, but it's available for pre-order now on all streaming platforms.
Oh hell yeah, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna pre-save it.
Oh, go on.
How many songs do you know are going to be on the vinyl in total?
Let me think. I think it's around 13.
Oh, wow. Okay, nice.
Yeah, it's a beefy vinyl. I thought it's upsided and everything. If I'm going to do it, I might as well go big and bold.
Yeah. And do you have like the design concept down already?
Oh, yeah. I received my test pressings not too long ago.
Oh, wow. That must have felt so cool.
Oh, it's so cool. I mean, we're doing, hopefully, to do a launch party for it and everything next year. It's just, it's such an amazing project to have. And the design's already been pressed and we're just ready to get the first copy and ready to get it out and distributed.
That's really exciting. Yeah, especially as an independent artist like that, that's really impressive. And I think it will be really well received. It sounds like it's just something you to be really proud of. So I'm excited for
you. Thank you so much. I'm really excited.
Of course. If you had to, if people are hearing about you for the first time on this podcast and you recommended one song of yours for them to listen to, which one would you recommend and why?
Well, obviously I'd say listen to the new one coming out.
Fair enough, yeah.
Touché. But if they were listening like before the 12th of September, I'd say Read Your Mind, because that's kind of how I am. Experimental, fun message over kind of, sorry, fun beats over mellow messages.
Yeah. I also love the album art you chose of like you holding the mic, dip back. Like it makes me want to like see you perform.
Oh.
Another question I have, you know, being a younger female in the music industry is something that like really resonates with me. And I think like I give women in music just a lot of props because it can be a little harder for us. What like in terms of like, you know, maybe being taken seriously or whatever, all the other annoying reasons why men are annoying. What advice would you give to like a younger female who's interested in pursuing music?
I'd say go into music for the sole purpose of expressing yourself and don't go into music in a box in a way. I kind of, when I first started out writing, I kind of wanted to write and produce what people thought I would write and produce. And I realize now that part of being a woman in the music industry is breaking those boxes and kind of being, it's so cringy, being true to yourself when it comes to music, because that's how independent artists kind of shine. And it's how we have female pop stars, because they have something, a kind of a brand in itself, being true to themselves.
So no, yeah, I mean, as maybe it's cliche, but I totally agree. I think that's a really well said point of like authenticity should be used to your advantage, not to like try to conform into like what you think people want to hear. It's a big and I imagine it's like very liberating once you kind of come to that realization that like you're like screw it, what people expect, like I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah, and I think when, at the end of it, if you know, truly love making music, I never really went into making music to get a reception for people to listen to it and, you know, become stereotypical famous. I just wanted to make music because I wanted to express myself. And that's what I've led to now, this beautiful journey with all these little victories that make me so proud of starting and continuing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's exciting that there's just so much more to come. What would you say, like, so far in your career was one of those moments where you're like, whoa, like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I made it or making it.
Oh, my goodness. I'd say a highlight definitely was Oh, I have so many. Oh my goodness. Okay, a highlight would be I performed at South Bank Centre in London, and that venue is really renowned, and it's one of my favorite gigs to date because I invited so many people, and the reception was absolutely brilliant. It was absolutely
Wow.
stunning, and it was just so amazing looking around the room, seeing people I'd worked with, people who wanted to work with me, people who, are still working with me. I look behind me, and my producer was DJing with me, and
Oh.
people I have yet to meet. It was just such a 360 experience, and
Wow.
honestly, one of my favorite gigs. And funny enough, a gig that has led me to perform at Hampton Court Palace. So
Wow, no way.
opportunities stem from other opportunities. That has to definitely be that, and being on BBC Introducing's Artist of the Week. Those
That's
two.
huge. Oh my gosh. Yeah, those are great ones. I love that. They like, yeah. Yeah, what was it like finding out about BBC?
Oh my goodness. I'd gotten like emails and stuff saying that my songs started getting played on BBC Introducing for around 7 weeks or so. Like, it was
Wow.
consistent. And
Wow.
then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I was getting interviewed on BBC Introducing, the Asian network, to talk about Read Your Mind and be the Artist of the Week. And it was really cool, especially listening to it back. That was really surreal. My accent really did show.
I
I was like,
bet
oh,
it did. That's so cool. Yeah, that must have been such a surreal experience. How
me.
did you connect with your producer? Like, how did you guys start working together?
Weirdly enough, it was very, very early stages. We kind of gave ideas back and forth. He would mainly like make foundations of beats for like my song lyrics, and we'd just kind of collaborate on the messages. I mean, it's honestly been, I've done this for like 7+ years. So
Yeah.
honestly, it just feels like a natural thing now. But the collaborative effort of being able to like send melodies and ideas through, and then him sending some back, sometimes being there together and doing it, it's become this like friendship that is really, really cool
I
and really,
love
really
that. Do
fun.
you feel like you guys almost have like, I feel like some artists have said this on the podcast, like almost like a secret language where you can kind of articulate a vibe or a sound in a
Oh my
weird
gosh.
way and he just gets it.
Absolutely. I literally, there came a point, I think it was maybe Chains, where I literally just sent sounds. Like the chorus of Chains is like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Like, I just sent that in a voice message once. It's unbelievable. But that and performing, he DJs at some of my performances with me, spinning the tracks and stuff and giving it a new flair.
That's so cool.
And he's kind of like my hype man as well. I'll be performing and all of a sudden I'll hear, "Let's go" behind me. Like, oh, it's like
Oh,
you're inviting me. But
that's
yeah.
amazing. That's like the dream producer, I feel like. Like what a nice bond you guys must have. And
He's
that's cool
very
that you
exciting.
get to perform together. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it is. And reminds me why I love music so much, the collaboration of it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Is there any like dream collab you would have with like any artist in mind?
It would have to be either Charlie Puth or Ariana Grande, because they're so experimental in their like harmonies, and they're so fluent in their musicality. They're so eager to be able to try new things out and kind of, but also again, stay true to themselves. So I think it'd be really interesting being in a studio with them and like layering all these different ideas together.
Yeah, not to mention they're like just absolute like savants with music. It's crazy. Like I've
Oh
seen like TikToks of Charlie Puth just like no, like perfect pitch, can play any song, any chord progression in like 2 seconds. It's wild
yeah.
to see. Yeah.
He's really cool. He's really cool. I think he calls himself Professor Puth on TikTok because he's like teaching people like different musical
Oh
terms and
my gosh.
yeah. I was like, okay, go off, I guess.
He does a really good job of like for people who really don't know what goes behind the scenes and like songs that they love, like just to see the process and like what goes into it. And I think having the passion for it is sort of the underlying like fuel to it. It's really cool to see more people learning about like what people like you do.
Yeah, I mean, the authenticity is so refreshing.
Yeah, for sure. And then Ariana, I can't even, she's just perfect in every way.
Whole different league, buddy. Whole different world.
like so many different eras, but I totally agree. She's so fundamentally herself that like no matter what, whether it's like the R&B era or like her Broadway, like Wicked era, like it's just, it's so impressive.
Yeah. She shows up every single time. She which does. Is kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I give you a lot of credit. That's like energy is a big, big part of like performing. And I think I can just tell like you must really, I mean, things caught on fire. Clearly you have energy.
Yeah. You adapt.
Yeah. Do you have like a dream venue that you would want to perform at someday?
Ooh, dream venue. I haven't been asked that question. Shepherd's Bush Empire. It came to me.
Okay. That was fast.
Yeah, Shepherd's Bush Empire. It's because me and my dad, before I like went into music, used to go to a lot of gigs there. So it'd be very cool to perform there.
What's the setup like?
It's like half the O2 Arena, and then make it like even more intimate. It seems small, but there's so many seats, and it actually has quite a lot of room. It's kind of my dream venue in the sense that like you feel close to the artist, but that is that kind of like professional space, which I really want to have.
Right. That is such a like perfect balance when you're at that type of venue where, yeah, it feels really intimate, but then you're like, it's like a really well set up large space or whatever. Yeah.
It's like three tiers, but like it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. Well, it will happen. I'm this is a very pro
manifestation.
Yes, I was gonna say we're very pro manifesting vibes. Absolutely. On this podcast, so it's happening for you.
It's happening. You have to be there.
yes, you will have to be there. I love it.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. It sounds like there's just so much coming up for you that you have that's like all good things, all exciting things. Is there anything specific that you're working on? It could be the vinyl. It could be something you haven't talked about that like you're excited for in the next year.
Honestly, it's all good energy from here. I feel like 2025 has blessed me in so many different ways, so many different gigs, so many different opportunities. Definitely the vinyl, it's the biggest project I have going on right now. But honestly, things come out of the blue so randomly sometimes. Like random amazing gigs will come out. And next thing I know, I'll be on a full campaign promoting that one. So I'll
just never know.
Stay tuned on the socials.
Yes, for sure. That's a good plug, definitely.
Yeah. That influencer. Let's go.
Yeah, there you go. That was very influencer. Yeah, I love that. I think that's really a good point, too, of just being open to opportunities, because sometimes the best ones are ones that you like. You just least expect. So I support that. And I think,
definitely. Yeah,
I love the energy that you're bringing. And I think it will be even bigger in 2026. It's really exciting.
It is really exciting. Makes it all the more fun when it comes out the blue. But yeah.
Yes. Yeah, very cool. Well, awesome. So I want to end on a question that I like to ask. If you had to give your music career so far an album title, what would you name it?
I'm going to veer away from my vinyl name because that is...
I was thinking that. I was like, she may say that.
I was like, I need to be original here. But apart from Reconceptualize, which is already good in itself, I'd call it Pieces of Me.
Ooh, I love that.
Come on. No. Well, I say that because every song that I release is a different kind of piece of me, a different kind of perspective on me. To give to the world, to allow audiences to be able to interpret in their own way and even tell me about it. So yeah, pieces of me.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that also encompasses the vulnerability, which plugs your next single.
Yeah.
And yeah,
here we go.
It all comes around full circle. I love that. Well, awesome. Thank you so much. This was really fun getting to chat, and you have a fan, so I'm locked in. I can't wait for all my friends and listeners to hear it. And yeah, congrats on all your success so far.
Thank you so much for your support, and thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely being here and having a chat with you.